When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're about to listen to a podcast full of wonder, excitement, and discovery. It's time for an adventure through Odyssey. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Adventures Through Odyssey podcast, Odyssey Revisited. I'm Will here with John, who we excitedly got to pull away from bar prep. Hopefully we can do that again on July 13th when the first new episode of the album drops, but, you know, blessings in disguise. So we're here for our July news roundup, and we had kind of an amount of news, although some of this I think might be the wiki trying to troll us at this point, but, we'll get back to that. So I just wanted to cover something. So earlier in the week or month or back in June, I don't really know when you're listening to this, I posted a Instagram story ranting about why are they plugging the Indiana Jones movie so much. It's a little weird. And this whole breakdown of how Witt was not the first aging archaeologist to do pulpy adventures. So someone pointed out Katie Lee voices a character in Temple of Doom. That's probably why. Don't know why they didn't flat out say that. Hopefully do the same thing for the Barbie movie. Okay.
What?
You know, Grace was the voice of Barbie in the animated movies.
That's funny.
But people have said I should apologize for that, and we talked about it. So I've got my ukulele here, and we're just going to do a little quick apology.
Okay. I don't know if the audience recognizes the news of dumb YouTube apologies.
That's probably a good point. Can I at least drink my Grimace shake?
You're fine. I mean, here's probably the reason is right. They're excited because she was in it, but Temple of Doom is generally considered like from people I know, Christians don't really like to acknowledge the Temple of Doom because unlike the first and third ones, which involve Christian Jewish artifacts, that one is basically like
voodoo.
Has like, huh?
Voodoo stuff.
Yeah, not exactly that, but akin to that. I think voodoo is like a more like a North America sort of thing, or like Caribbean sort of thing. I don't know. I could be wrong about that. I don't know that much about voodoo. Unsurprisingly, I don't know that much. You know, I don't read that much about it. That's
probably a good thing.
Yeah, but so I would assume they're like, oh, Indiana Jones, like, she voiced it. That's great. That's exciting. I do think there are a lot of Christians, because it's Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Grail in 1 and 3, really like Indiana Jones. But they very much want to ignore 2. So they probably aren't going to, like, encourage someone to go see 2.
I do fully agree. And look, I know a lot of people don't like 2. I'm going to get some hate for this. Temple of Doom's actually my favorite because it leans into the pure silliness of it.
Mm-hmm. Who's not bad, but I get why a Christian
broadcaster
wouldn't want to necessarily talk about it, especially when kids are looking at the Instagram.
Yeah, I fully get that. I just found it weird, but so there was a reason. I was originally going to post a joke. I hope for Oppenheimer we get a picture of Jack Allen and Blackard under the tunnel in Wits End.
Stop. Awful.
No, but seriously, if they did this for Katie Lee and the Indiana Jones movie, I hope they give Chris the same treatment for the Barbie movie, at least like a little nudge to it on the Instagram.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see for sure.
Yes. Okay, so we had some comic stuff happen. We finally finished the Acolyte arc. Got some sad news about that, and let's talk about how the Acolyte arc wrapped up first.
I think it wrapped up fine. I mean, I read these three or four comics. It kind of felt like it was just, I mean, it's okay. If this somehow equates to Richard Maxwell showing up in a Odyssey, like an actual audio Odyssey episode, that's exciting.
Yes.
Cause that is a fun status change and probably something that could have / should have happened a while ago in the show itself.
Yes.
you know, I think what it might be is he just shows up in the comics, which isn't bad. I mean, that's still fun to see him, but...
I'm sure that's why the comic ended with, yeah, Whit, I'll probably stay for now. So that way they can kind of explain, just say, oh, Richard's just out of town for the audio episodes. Yeah.
I mean, a good wrap-up, you know. You know, they took him down. Do we think Applesauce is truly destroyed?
Definitely not.
Because, right, I feel like they always, like, destroy it, and they're like, there was a backup! Or, like, Whit's like, I haven't, like, been willing to destroy it.
Well, because if it was a government-made program, Whit might get into a lot of legal trouble in, like, a realistic scenario, but...
Well, doesn't he destroy it?
Like, he destroys it at the end of the Blackguard saga.
Right, but, like... But then remember, like, Applesauce is, like, programmed into the Imagination Station for Novacom or something? Or maybe that was just a fun reference? Like, it's kind of weird.
I think it was a fun reference.
Okay.
Yeah, so, no, I actually liked how they wrapped it up. You know, I think for the amount of panels this had, we could have had a little more about Jason on the roof.
Yeah.
He just kind of comes off the roof. I got the Nova box!
That's fair. You know, if it had been an audio episode, and I don't mean this, like, derogatory, I think it would have been fine. It would have been him on the roof, like, grunting, being like, I have to make it in time, and then him praying, like, God, please let me get there in time. I don't mean that derogatory, that's just what it would have been.
No, I do totally agree. I got a little nervous, because comic panel 50 ends with, where's Richard? To begin, we could have just ended it at 50, and it would have been fine. Now we have to do even more of this. Actually, I read them all through in one go, and it's very good as one thing. But when you tune in every Monday, sometimes it kind of feels like, oh, that was a bit of a...
Yeah, it wasn't off. Like it was a good, very good series. There were just sometimes a panel where I was like, that's it? And that's not bad. I think that sometimes just happens. I mean, it's a comic strip.
Right.
It's like a panel. It's not like a book each. It's not like a manga where you get like a whole chapter. You know, we don't want to have people work ridiculous hours, you know.
Well, that's a good point. But apparently only one person has been doing the comic, which is what I wanted to talk about. So apparently there was a cameo by Brian Dawson in the comic, who's been writing the comics for the last year.
Wait, no. I think it was he was drawing them, right?
Drawing. Maybe somebody else.
Is there someone writing it and someone who's drawing it?
I think that's what I'm about to check. Okay. Brian Dawson, who's been the artist for the entire Elseworlds. Okay, so yeah, I think just the artist. Sadly, we must announce that Monday's strip was his last. Brian will be stepping down as the series' main artist due to medical reasons involving the use of his hands. Not life-threatening, so don't worry.
I thought
worry.
He said not involving the use of his hands. Oh, it's involving the use of his hands, but it's not life-threatening.
Right. He has drawn over 64 strips, helped facilitate the official return of many fan-favorite characters, and has seen EIO through the entire first year of his existence. And we are praying that he does some healing so he can return one day. That would be nice. If you enjoyed his work, please take a time to comment on this post. Okay, so.
We'll give a little applause. I think he did a good job.
I agree. Very good drawing. And I think that also them officially talking about it funneling in a lot of returning characters means it was not a mandate, but like that's kind of what these comics existed for. Because I kind of wonder that, is this just them having fun and we're going to get to normal stuff eventually, or...
So let me say this about the art, because I think it's worth mentioning. I think the comic art is quite good.
Yes.
I think it's a pretty decent combination of like the different art styles of the past.
I do agree with that.
Like, I like it better than the current, more official art. But I also think, I mean, the official art's more polished.
Yeah.
But I also think if, you know, that's probably because this one guy's doing most of the drawing for the strips versus the official art's probably, I don't know, maybe one person does that art too. I don't know. Maybe it's the same person. Who knows?
I'm going to guess the official art is workshopped a little more.
Yeah, so I think it's quite a nice style for a comic.
Yeah, so next Mondays will be interesting because it's a new comic artist. we'll also kind of know if they also write it based on if the writing changes at all.
Yeah, I feel like they would, I guess. Yeah, it's interesting because I would think there's someone writing it, someone drawing it, but it may be the same person.
Right. Now, the real question is, how long can they do this until it's no longer sustainable and we start have to addressing the events of the comics in the show?
I think what you may see is it referenced in a club episode.
Possibly.
Within the next 2 years. Well, I think next 2 or 3 years, because you have to think there's a writing.
I do agree. Or, and I know the Christian viewing audience of Focus on the Family would not go for this, a Wit of Two Worlds story, where Wit goes into the Imagination Station or something, and we find out that everything pre the 2010 hiatus took place in one reality, and everything post that takes place in another, and all the comics are taking place in the pre-2010 reality. Which would also kind of explain why in that first episode back from the hiatus, Matthew Parker's an established figure around Odyssey, but it couldn't have been more than 2 weeks in real life since
the
last episode.
But you could say that about the other hiatus, right? Like, where suddenly there's all these well-established characters.
Well, you could, but what I would argue is they very clearly say 9 months to a year has passed in the world of the show in that episode.
Yeah, but I think it's not crazy to just... One, I don't want them to do that. That's some weird, like, Dallas just rewriting, like, a lot of what is, like, known to have happened.
I mean, we could still say a lot of those events took place.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm just saying, it is kind of interesting to think, I was thinking about this the other day, since the 2010 hiatus, we have not had as many out there stories as we did before the 2010 hiatus.
You mean like pure comedy episodes?
I mean things like Novacom, Blackguard. It's been not in a bad way, but the episodes have felt a tiny bit more clandestine.
Well, I mean, they had the Green Ring Conspiracy.
Yes.
Which I do think we forget sometimes. I mean, they are setting up this thing right now, right? With, what's his face?
Maury.
No. We had the Maury thing. What?
Oh, the chairman.
The chairman. So I think they're trying to do something like that again. You know, I wonder if it's just hard with how it's set up right now, where it's like, you know, like 12 episodes a few times a year, and then like the club, because they have what they're doing is they're trying to have a bunch more concurrent storylines.
Yeah. No, that's
Are you
true.
Looking at something, Will?
No, why?
I don't know. You looked like you were distracted. I wonder even how they had the whole like thing that's kind of like seemingly gonna jumpstart something with the chairman, which was like a 4-part episode, like the one with Jillian, where I wonder if having as long of a thing like that is considered as feasible anymore, just given that it's not like as much of a radio week-to-week thing, and they're thinking they need to do more of, like, a binge, like...
That is very possible.
Like, subscription thing, and I don't... Because I think they are trying to do that. I do think people were a little disappointed with Green Ring. Like, I think with Green Ring, it was good, but you could tell they were stretching a little bit to, like, fill the time slot. I mean, so, like, an example would be... With like the final Novacom volume, I remember, I think it's the final Novacom volume. There's like a weird like episode, or the second to final one. There's like, it's all Novacom, except there's like the Happy Smilers episode.
Oh no, that is the album before.
Right.
But that episode does kind of come in between Novacom building that episode. Then the next episode is Plan B.
Right, but I do wonder if, like, I appreciated that, I guess, but, I mean, it's weird, but it is like, okay, you knew you didn't have, like, the time to fill, like story-wise, this one, so you put in, like, a...
Now, that episode also plays better in retrospect, because it's a very big moment for Aubrey's journey.
Well, right.
But no, I do agree. So anyway, yes, don't do the Odyssey multiverse. I don't need everything everywhere all at once with Wit. Although, if anyone wanted to draw me the Crisis on Infinite Earths photo of Superman holding Supergirl in his arms screaming, but it's Wit holding Connie in his arms screaming, I would post that.
No, no, we wouldn't.
Okay.
Okay, let's get on to the episode for the week.
Well, we need to get on to the free comic first. Okay. So it's a quickie. It is the Parker kids fighting over who gets to watch what on the big TV, although they do mention, like, can't you just watch it on your tablet? Da-da-da. Then Mr. Parker makes them all watch a documentary about Antarctica.
That's cute.
It's cute, but I did find that interesting, like, oh yeah, I guess fighting over the TV isn't really a thing anymore.
Yeah, that's fair. I didn't even think of that.
When you really think about it. Anyway, it was a nice little joke.
Not that we fought over the TV that much.
I don't think we did either. But, so, we were also pretty close in age, so.
Yeah, right? Well, we're also, I feel like the stereotype is more a brother and sister fighting over it because they want to watch two kind of diametrically opposed types of programming.
No, that is true.
All right, so, older and younger. It's usually that.
Oh, yeah. So, nice little comic. Feel like we haven't really seen the Parkers in any media in a while, so that was nice.
Yeah. We complained about them too much.
I know.
We didn't know what we had. Now there's no... I guess the Core Odyssey family is, and I'm really sorry I always forget their names, is the army one.
The Perkins?
The Perkins is probably the most family dynamic right now.
At this point, you're probably right. Because we don't really see the Joneses. Zoe's mom has made an appearance.
The Parkers? The Perkins?
Oh my gosh. Anyway, and then the Instagram story, you know, it's still Bart running for mayor, and it was going great for about 3 weeks there because it was just newspaper headlines that were comedy bits. So Bart gets hit on the head of an apple. All apples in Odyssey are banned. Bart restages Truth and Trivia and makes everyone watch on a giant jumbotron in Town Square. So where we are now is Bart gives everyone a free toaster from the Electric Palace, and it acts, and they all set the town on fire. Now, one thing I had not mentioned to you is the reason Bart gets away with election fraud is Jared catches him and confronts him, but he says, Jared, you can have free video games from the Electric Palace for life if you keep your mouth shut. So the implication is, like, 2 or 3 weeks has been going on, Jared has been in his basement playing video games. So he finally comes outside to a blazing fire. He goes to, what's his name, Bart, who's playing a fiddle. Very interesting reference there. And Bart says, you know, no one will believe you. And even if they do, they'll be mad that you kept your mouth shut. So what does Jared do? He talks to Wit, who says, Jared, it might be hard, but it's the right thing to do. Okay, so here's the interesting thing. We've had two strips since that happened. One is Jared coming forward and Bart looking pretty pissed. And the one that was posted today, July 6th, is Eugene and somebody else in a photo lab confirming the photos were real. So as it looks like to me, no one's really mad at Jared at this point.
No, because everyone's so mad at Bart, they're probably like, thank you for telling us.
Right, also, and if this happened in real life, I would be like, okay, he's 12, I can kind of understand why he may have been bought so easily.
Yeah.
So, we will see how that goes. It looks like it's reaching a conclusion, so I'll be curious to see if we run another what-if scenario in the Room of Consequence, or we move on to a new one after this.
It'll be interesting to see.
So, because, like, one of them was, what if Jace Mouse had continued acting? So.
Oh.
Yeah, but anyway, so we actually have quite a few new episode descriptions here on the wiki. Now, some of these might be the wiki trying to troll me.
Should we talk about the club episode first?
Do we want to talk about the club episode? Yeah, let's do that, because it's a pretty short one. Oh, not really, but anyway, where was it? Yes, so because we have so many new episodes, I'm not going to read an AI episode, especially because I was kind of offended by the one it spit out for me, where I said, write an episode where... That's a crossover of the Adventures in Odyssey show and the Adventures Through Odyssey podcast. And they did it. But the hosts were Bob and Jesse. And I'm a little pissed by that.
Wow. Let's be fair. It probably the word through was not.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Not enough to give it. Probably the truth of it is they probably haven't scrubbed our podcast.
That's probably true. All right, club episode for the month, Precious Lord, Part 1. Trey meets a gospel legend who from a young age set his heart on becoming a famous blues musician.
So, I mean, here's the thing. Only the first part is out. I think it's a pretty good episode so far. I don't know much about this guy, so it's interesting. It is always interesting that, and I think it's because they can use music and it's a little more interesting, but not so often, but they do love their like music related, like
they really stories. Do.
And like, it's not bad. I'm saying it's not, here's the thing. They don't like necessarily do like true life Christian stories from like the last 100-ish, 200-ish years that often.
Oh yeah.
But when they do, it's very often. And maybe that's because it's like, you know, doing like a theologian. Like if you do one about like a certain person, it gets a little more like, oh, are you supporting this person's theology versus like a gospel singer?
This is true.
I am curious to see if I recognize, I haven't looked it up, if I recognize the songs that are going to appear.
Well, so he is apparently the person who basically invented gospel music.
I wonder what they mean by gospel music, because like, he's like, this is like what, the 20s, the 30s,
right now.
Like where we are currently. And I'm like, so you like, I guess like popularized gospel music. I'm just curious. I guess they're talking from like I don't know. I'd be curious.
Well, he was
to
born
see.
In 1899 and died in 1993. So yeah, this is probably the 20s.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see. I mean, like, right? That's like a bold claim. I think he's probably like super influential in modern. I don't know the term. I wonder when the term gospel music came from.
Hold on. Thomas Dorsey was an American musician, composer, and Christian evangelist influential in the development of early blues and the 20th century gospel music. So.
Okay. Let me say two issues I had. Not issues, but funny notices.
Yes.
Why does this portrait of this man have to remind Wit of all the people who have died? It's like,
Or remember, it was like, first it's weird because the episode references that, like, oh, I saw you perform with Jenny. And he's like, yeah, Jenny, like, she was like a great woman of God. It's like, oh, you saw me right after your son Jerry died in the war. And I'm like, why do we gotta be referenced? I think they wanted to, one, they're like, let's reference Witt's history. But it's also weird because then it's kind of implying, it's like reminds us of how older Witt is.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I was just reading the Wikipedia article. Apparently, and I think this is going to tie into part two and why they did this, his wife died two or three years after they got married in childbirth, and his son died the next day. So I kind of wonder if they're going to
okay.
Link that that's in part fair. Two.
That probably explains it, because I was going to say, I'm like, that's such a weird pull to like talk about that when they don't talk that much about it. But if there's the similar correlation, that helps.
Yes. The one thing I would point out, because every episode with Trey, that's not a Calhoun family episode, is about his self-confidence issues.
Yeah.
I don't even say what he's self-conscious about in this one.
Well, it's... Oh, that was another thing. He talks about, like, yeah, I'm worried about the future and, like, what the world's gonna be like. And first I'm like, okay, how is that gonna tie into what's going on in this episode? Because I get the sense they're talking about stuff, and I could be wrong. But, like, I'm like, are they talking about, like, politics? Are they talking about the environment? Are they talking about just, like, the economy? Like, there's so many things they could talk about, and, like, they did it in the vaguest possible way. But, right, if they don't bring it back, and they're probably going to do something like, the world's always uncertain, but you can be certain in God.
Right.
That's probably what it's going to.
Yes. Because what this first part of the episode really felt like is this guy had a different trajectory for his life, that God set him on a different path.
Yeah.
That's probably what they're going for. Overall, I actually really like this episode. I like that they used the portrait gallery. I like that they're kind of using it for what Bernard used to be used for stories that span longer periods of time. So we don't have to use the imagination station, we haven't seen you in years excuse.
Yeah. Let me say what I thought was funny.
Yes.
He runs away from the police. And then we have like one of the only cutaways to Trey being like, you ran away from the police? And, like, he was like, yeah, and I regretted it later. Like, I regretted that I didn't, like, pay my dues or, like, something like that. And I'm just like, if he actually thought that later in life, sure. But it's, like, honest. He's like, we don't want to encourage people to run away from the police. Like, we want to be clear, I just found that funny. Where it's like, it's this like 12-year-old kid being like, I don't want to get caught. And he like runs out the window, and they have to very specifically address that. It's like, that was wrong of me to do.
I do kind of agree. There's a bit more of a loaded element to that that we won't get into in this episode, but.
Yeah, it's just, I don't think that's bad. I just found it funny. They're like, we gotta like stop the episode. Like they're doing it for the purpose of showing like, the type of places he was working were not Christian.
Yes.
And like, you know, I'm assuming it's like a speakeasy or something.
It was the 1920s, probably.
Like that, like speakeasy or like something akin or just some shady club or something. Like that's the vibe I get. And then it's just funny where he's like, I get it. I get it's like kids and like Odyssey, I'm sure. Odyssey is pro police.
Yes.
I know there's controversy about some of that with people. I just found it funny as narratively that they're like, stop, we got to address this. That was bad. The character who did it admits it was bad and he shouldn't have done it.
Yes, exactly. So I like where it's going so far. I like that it doesn't end on this like earth shattering cliffhanger. It's just, well, you better hope I'm feeling merciful when you ask for your job back, which, I mean, is a cliffhanger, but it's not he's been arrested or someone shot him or that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a good place to stop, but it's not like, what's going to happen now? Right. It's not like, will he escape from the police?
Right. Exactly. And especially because there's a month between each episode of the club.
So. Yeah.
So, no, I thought this was really good. I like, again, I like these history stories they've been doing because they feel different. They feel, I don't want to say less dramatic, but it feels like they've been playing up the drama a little less.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see where part two goes. The web quest was, here's a kid who plays gospel music in the modern day, basically.
Not a bad quest.
Yeah. Then there's like a question about how can your church incorporate more gospel music, which I think is a question our church choir director could ask, but.
Okay.
So
let's read these new descriptions.
Yes. Okay. So I don't 100% know where some of these came from, but okay. Right, so the wiki writers could just be trying to troll us now, because I sometimes use them as too much of a source. But we will see. Okay.
We'll put a disclaimer if we find out these are fake by the time this comes out.
All right, so this is it for the Adventure Club for next year. This is apparently the June episode. As quiet as a smouse. Don't know why that's not a Christmas episode. Buddy, Jay, and Zoe enter their school project, The Case of the Blue Diamond, in an audio drama contest, but disqualification on a technicality sends everybody scrambling to solve the problem and get back into contention before the deadline.
I mean, I would say that's probably true, because I don't know how you have that name connected to that episode unless it's referencing something we don't know about.
Right, exactly. I'm looking at this right. Because they have no notice to where this came from. But they also have Connie and Red Hollard listed as characters, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's an Abigail Geiger episode. I wonder if she posts about these on her social media or something and we don't know about it.
Maybe.
Anyway, doesn't matter. The other one is Running the Race, parts 1, 2, and 3. Bridget journeys into the Imagination Station to meet athlete and missionary Eric Liddell.
Okay. I mean, good. I mean, I like that there's a new, as I was saying, like a something connected to a different sort of thing. Is this the guy? This isn't the guy who Chariots of Fire is based on, right?
That's what I'm checking right now, because I think it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Depicted in yes, the Oscar winning film Chariots of Fire. Okay, I mean, I guess it's not bad, because I guess a kid wouldn't watch Chariots of Fire. Although I think there are adults who have shown their kids Chariots of Fire, because I think that's a pretty, like, maybe to be fair, I've never seen the movie. I probably should have, but I guess it's good to introduce kids to that, because that is a, you know, a good story.
Yeah. So, I mean, nice. I don't love that it's a three-parter as a club episode, but...
Oh, is it a three-parter? That does seem a bit much, simply because that story is pretty famously out there.
Right, and I guess here's my other thing. I know if it was also in an album episode, I'd be saying, why are they wasting three episodes on a historical in the albums where they move the story forward? So it's a no-win situation, but...
Yeah. I think a two-parter would be appropriate. But I think a three-parter does seem like a lot.
I do tend to agree. All right. So we've got album 66, titles/descriptions, write notes, wrong key. Jules joins Manic Ravioli, a local band.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. And if it's real, we've got characters. So Jules, Bridget, and then a person named Gunner and Raz.
I'm excited to hear it. I mean, it could just be a pre-existing characters doing different voices.
I do agree.
But that sounds like fun.
Yeah, so again, this is album 76. And then we've got...
It concerns me that Buck isn't mentioned.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second, actually. We've also got the Rydell Realizations, parts 1, 2, and 3. Now, all who's listed here is Maury, Susu, and Wit. So I'm assuming this is another part of the arc regarding... whatever's going on with the team. I hope they're not trying to do a hasty wrap-up just because it's starting to feel like they need to do something with this story.
I think they are going to incorporate it somehow into this chairman thing.
I do agree.
I think they're involved with Tasha. I think there's even some stuff that's like, I think it's going to be about the team. It's going to be about them trying to come to terms with stuff. And then I think there's going to be, even if it's something weird, like they think Maury's doing something.
Yeah.
And it's like turns out to be something with the chairman or something. We'll see.
I totally, totally agree. Okay. Now, we also have an episode for album 77, which releases next summer. A Streak of Good Buck, parts 1 and 2. Buck makes a new friend. Okay, so there's a couple interesting things here, and I partially think this is real, because why would you make this up? The characters listed are Jules and Buck, a new character named Brayden, who is voiced by Grayson Smith. Do you know who that is?
I've heard of him.
He was the 2017 Get in the Show winner.
Who he's actually... Finally coming round.
Well, here's the interesting thing. He's actually voiced a few ancillary characters in other episodes looking at his wiki page.
Yeah.
But it's all been, you know, background characters or characters who didn't have a huge bearing on the story. So is he finally coming in as, like, if Brayden, like, sticks around, is he finally going to be reoccurring or?
Maybe. I mean, here's the question. Is Buck still going to be in Odyssey?
That's what I wonder. We'll know in a couple weeks, because it could very well be Jules goes to visit Buck while Eugene is, I don't know, out of town or something.
Right. That's the thing, is we don't know. It could be that they're establishing a friend for Buck, so when they have an occasional Buck-related episode, he can be there, maybe.
Right. Well,
it could be that he's making a new friend in Odyssey. But right, it does seem a little weird.
Yeah, like, let's give Buck a friend so he can go on his own adventures once
maybe
a year.
Maybe
they
realize they're basically, he's only connected to Jules, and if we get rid of Eugene, we actually need someone in for him to have more interactions with, so it's not every Buck episode is primarily about him and Jules. Or him and Eugene were kind of like the dynamics.
Anyways, just to note, these could all have been faked by the wiki just to mess with me, but I find it a little odd they would specifically call out the Get in the Show 2017 winner.
If they said on the podcast they're not really interested in AI or they're not really interested in like recasting, I think Eugene's probably going to be gone for a long time.
I agree. I just hope that means, and I hate to bring this up because he's almost 90, when Andre Stoika passes, I'm going to be a little perturbed if they do a fourth Wit.
Well, I think they will. I mean, I think the thing with Wit is they've replaced him before.
True.
And so there's more of a precedent. I think it's probably harder, you know, for them and Eugene. I also think part of it is they do have a lot of characters now.
True.
Let's say this. Wit, I don't think this is a crazy statement to say. I think Wit's still very important to Odyssey. But I think, like, since the hiatus, you know, he's gotten a little more important since hiatus. But he's probably the least important he's ever been.
Yeah, okay. That's my point. After the Stoika is 79.
I was going to say, I don't think he's 90. I mean, he technically a few years ago, I think he was less relevant, all things considered. But, like, I think it's hard, right? You get rid of Wit, and then, like, what is the... Like, everyone's dynamics change.
Right, I agree.
And so, as much as a big shift that would be, I do think if they got rid of Wit, like, permanently... I know they, like, thought about doing that. Like, with Jack Allen, like, they're like, oh, we'll send Wit away for a while. But it was always, like, a lot of those were kind of dependent on the idea that Wit was gone. Like, that was the whole, like, idea for a long time. It's like, oh, Wit's not here.
Yeah, and I think that's why Renee and Horace got bumped to album status, because they're going to kind of be the new science-y characters who can build things with Wit and that kind of thing.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so... I will be curious to see. It would not surprise me if at some point in the comics we start having Eugene adventures in the medical field.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I think that covers everything we had to cover this month.
Yeah.
And we went over the news, which wasn't super plentiful. The comics, the episode. Okay, So we've got part two in August, and starting July 13th, we've got the new episodes. We do know The Best Is Yet to Come is going to be the last four of the albums. It's either going to be the Penny episode or the Suzu episode.
Yeah.
So, hip hip hooray. But no, seriously. So I just, as a heads up to everyone, John is taking the bar in a couple of weeks. So there will not be any new episodes of us going through old episodes until he's done.
I like how you're like, oh, it's not as if we haven't had those like long gaps between those, but now we have a reason.
Okay, that's true. I'm just saying, I would hope we can record it the first album episode, and then by the time the second one comes out, you'll be done, so.
Hopefully. I mean, when does the second one come out?
The first one is July 13th. So. First one's July 13th. Well, that's a week from today. So the second one's on the 20th.
Okay, well, the bar is on like the 25th or 24th.
Okay, so maybe we'll be a few days late.
Yeah, but we'll make do.
Yes. Anyway, so have a good month, everyone. I'm Will.
I'm John.
We'll see you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.